brighter across the far south and the far north. The showers will tend to fizzle out through the day and most will have a dry afternoon, although rain will return to southwest Scotland by the end of the day. Temperatures 5 to 7 Celsius. It is going to be turning milder over the next few days, but also most of us will see some rain, especially so on Saturday. That's the forecast.
Milder weather, now that is good news. A sweltering heat wave is what we need of around about 8 degrees. That sounds good to me. Now, on Radio 4, Mom and Me and Mom. And the teenage Maya Angelou is finally settling into her new life with her mother in California.
At 15, I was allowed to stay out until 11, only if my brother Bailey was along. Mother knew he would not only tell me what to do, he'd tell others what they could and couldn't do around me. One night, the teenagers in the Booker T. Washington Center were restless because there was no dance. Someone yelled, "Let's go to the Mission District and liberate a few dozen tacos and tamales." There was a roar of agreement, and I was swept along. We were on the outskirts of the Fillmore District before I realized Bailey wasn't there. I knew what I should do, but I couldn't bring myself to say that I had to leave. We rode streetcars to the Mexican area and danced in the streets to the music of the mariachi bands. Someone announced it was 1 o'clock. The enormity of my lateness made me dumb. Alarmed voices joined mine. "How did it get so late? I'm gonna get killed!" When I got home, I put the key in the lock and pushed the door. It was pushed back at me with enormous force. My mother stepped out. She held a ring of keys in her fist. She said, "God damn it!" and hit me in the face. As I screamed, she grabbed my coat and pulled me into the house. She was cursing and shouting, "Where in the hell have you been? Even whores are in bed. My 15-year-old daughter's roaming the streets." I tasted blood as it slipped into my mouth. Mother continued to rant, and I heard doors open and voices. My stepfather, "Lady, you all right?" Papa Ford, shuffling down the hall in his robe. "What's happening, Vivian?" In the critical moment, he stopped being the houseman, the cook, and became her doting uncle. He asked me, "Where the hell have you been?" I was crying too hard to answer. Suddenly Bailey appeared, also in his robe, also in control of himself. He saw my face and heard Mother's tirade. He said with authority, "Come on upstairs, Maya. I'll get some towels. Go to your room." I was sitting on the bed when he came in, bringing a warm, wet, soapy towel in one hand and a dry, fluffy towel in the other. "Don't try to talk. Just calm down and clean your face. Don't worry about anything. I'll figure out what we're going to do." The next morning, the image in the bathroom mirror shocked me. My eyes were black, and my lips were swollen. I'd begun crying again when Bailey appeared with a suitcase. "Come on, pack. We're leaving this place." I did as I was told and followed Bailey down the stairs. At the bottom, my mother stood with her arms akimbo. "Where the hell do you think you're going?" Before Bailey could answer, she looked up and saw me. She screamed and reeled as if she was going to fall. "My baby! Oh, my baby! I'm so sorry!" Bailey stared straight at her. "We're leaving your house. Nobody but nobody beats up my baby sister." Mother turned to him.
"Please, give me a chance. Please, come in the kitchen and give me a chance."
Vivian Baxter asked me and Bailey to sit on the kitchen chairs, and she got down on her knees and prayed to God to ask forgiveness. And then she begged me to forgive her.
"I was out of my mind. I remembered what that bastard had done to you when you were 7 years old. I could imagine someone else taking you, maybe even killing you.
I had just left your empty room when I came down the stairs and suddenly you were opening the door with a smile on your face. I had the keyring in my hand with at least 20 keys on it, and I hit you without thinking. She turned to Bailey. I didn't mean to hurt your sister. I beg you to forgive me. Then she began to cry so piteously that Bailey and I left our chairs and joined her on the floor, where we cradled her in our arms. Afterwards, upstairs in my room, Bailey said, "She's a strong woman. I wish she'd knelt down and apologized in front of Daddy Clydell and Papa Ford," I replied. "She couldn't do that. It would have taken away some of the power she has over them." "Well, we took away the power she has over us." Bailey shook his head. "No, we didn't take it, honey. She gave it to us." I was distressed because I didn't develop like other girls. I didn't have plump breasts, just little nubs on my chest. My buttocks were flat, my legs too thin and too long. To add to my woes, I thought that I might grow up to be a lesbian. I'd read a book purportedly written by a lesbian, and she was grossly unhappy, and her friends who were also lesbians were miserable as well. I certainly didn't want to grow up to become unhappy. Still, not all the boys were after only pretty girls. Some let me know that they'd like to have sex with me. They were only teenagers, and it was easy to ignore them. But Babe, who lived up the block, was 19 years old and very handsome. I developed a dizzying infatuation for him, and one day I agreed to his suggestion. In his bedroom, there was no kissing, no coddling and whispering, none of that. Finally, Babe made a loud sound and then lay still. And that's when I knew we'd finished. "Is this all it is?" I asked. "Yeah." I dressed, really disappointed, and still not sure that I was normal and not a lesbian. 2 months passed, and I found that I was pregnant. Mother was making repeated trips to Alaska to tend to their affairs, so she missed watching me blossom into a soon-to-be mother. My stepfather didn't know what he was seeing. "You're growing up, beginning to look like a young woman." I thought, I should. I'm over 8 months pregnant. I finished my senior year. On graduation day, Daddy Clydell took me out to dinner and told me how proud he was. We came home, and I went upstairs to write him a letter. "Dear Dad, I am sorry. I have brought disrespect and scandal on the family, but I am pregnant." I put the page on his pillow. At 9 o'clock the following morning, he called from downstairs. "Maya, come and have coffee with me." He was sitting at the kitchen table. "Now, baby, I got your note. Now, how far are you gone?" I caught my breath and said I had about 3 weeks before the baby would be born. "All right, I'll call your mother. She'll take care of this, don't worry. Now, I don't think you're supposed to do much jumping around in your condition, and I see you didn't get much sleep. Go back to bed." The next day, my mother flew in. I felt guilty and scared. She came in and looked at me. "Oh, you're more than any 3 weeks pregnant." "Yes, ma'am. It's 3 weeks before I have the baby." "Ah, all right now, baby. Go run me a bath." In our family, for some unknown reason, we consider it an honor to run a bath, to put in bubbles and good sense for another person. After she got in, I sat on a stool. "Do you know who the father is?" "Yes, ma'am. It was only one time." "Do you love him?" I said, "No." "Does he love you?" I said, no. Well, then that's that. We will not ruin three lives. We, you and I, and this family are going to have a wonderful baby. That's all there is to that. I left the bathroom, tears of relief bathing my face. She didn't hate me or cause me to hate myself. She stayed in the house for 3 weeks, talking to me, telling family stories about babies and pregnancies. She recounted the night I was born. When the contractions began, I got my hospital suitcase, which she had packed, and knocked on her door. She laughed and said, you have a few hours yet, baby. Don't worry. I promise to get you to the hospital on time. She gave me a bath, then put me on her bed and shaved me in preparation for delivery. Vivian Baxter was, among other things, a registered nurse. She rang the hospital to tell them we were on our way. When we arrived, she spotted two nurses through the glass in the door. My mother told them she was a nurse and took me into the delivery room. The contractions came faster, but the doctor didn't arrive. My mother got up on the delivery table with me and knelt. She put one of my legs against her shoulder and took both my hands. Then she told me filthy stories, jokes. She timed the punchlines with the contractions, and I'd laugh. And as the baby was coming out, she said, look at this. We have a wonderful, handsome boy. My stepdad later told me she was so wrung out when she got home, she looked like she'd had twins. I thought about my mother and knew she was amazing. She never made me feel as if I'd brought scandal to the family. The baby hadn't been planned, and I'd have to rethink plans about education. But to Vivian Baxter, that was life being life. Having a baby while I was unmarried hadn't been wrong. It was simply slightly inconvenient. I found a job when my son was 2 months old, and a room with cooking privileges down the hall, and a landlady who would babysit. I said, Mother, I'm going to move. She looked at me half pityingly and half proud. All right, you go. But remember this. When you cross my doorstep, you have already been raised. You know the difference between right and wrong. Do right. No, you will always have to make adaptation in love, in friends, in society, and work. But don't let anybody change your mind. And then, remember this. You can't always come home. I was back in my bedroom before I realized I had called Lady Mother. I knew she'd noticed, but we never mentioned the incident. I was aware that after the birth of my son, I thought of Vivian Baxter as my mother. Her treatment of me and her love for my baby earned her the right to be called mother. On the day we moved from her house, I realized I'd grown close to her. Mother liberated me by letting me know she was on my side. She liberated me from a society that would have had me think of myself as the lower of the low. She liberated me to life. And from that time to this, I have taken life by the lapels and said, I'm with you, kid.
Adjo Ando has been reading Mom and Me and Mom by Maya Angelou. The programme was abridged and produced by Jane Marshall Productions. The shipping forecast awaits us, but first, as usual, sailing by. Thank you. sailing by. Now to the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at midnight 15 on Thursday, the 11th of April. There are warnings of gales in South Utsira, Fisher, Dover, White, Portland, Plymouth, Biscay, Fitzroy, Seoul, Bailey and South East Iceland. The general synopsis at 1800. Low, Portland 992, expected Denmark 995 by 1800 Thursday. New lows expected 988, I beg your pardon, new lows expected Seoul 988 and Faroes 997 by the same time. Low, Denmark 1004, losing its identity. The area forecasts for the next 24 hours. South.